wind chill is minus 5. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8. The morning show with Greg Berg is next. And we welcome you to the Wednesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I'm really happy to be able to welcome back into our studios Dr. Lynn Akey, who is the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. And Chancellor Akey, as I welcome you, I realize we can't really call you the new Chancellor of Parkside, newly arrived. You've been around for a while, but actually not all that long. You're still very early in your tenure. Remind us exactly how long you have been in place as Parkside's Chancellor.
Well, good morning. And certainly, it's just been over a year since I had the opportunity to join the community and UW Parkside. But wow, has that year gone fast. In so many ways, it feels just like yesterday that I arrived. There's still so much to learn about the place, about the community, about the region. It's been tremendous thus far.
Right. In case somebody did not hear our first conversation, you told a story during that I just thought it's just too good to not give you an opportunity to retell that, maybe in slightly abridged fashion. Not that you went on and on the first time, but sure. It's not primarily why we're here. But it's a story that involves your son and Parkside, and that was part of what was your sort of entryway to, first of all, knowing about Parkside and then getting to know it very specifically ahead of becoming its chancellor.
Yeah, it is sort of a unique story and certainly a fun experience in that, as I share with folks, I was a Parkside parent before I became the Parkside chancellor. And how I came to know UW Parkside was back in 2021 when my oldest son was starting his college exploration and journey and looking at where he might want to go to study. And through a number of, you know, different twists and turns, it was really late in his college search process that he actually discovered Parkside because of their program in sports management and his desire to engage in Division II athletics. And so we stumbled across Parkside sort of in the final hour, made a journey over right there towards the end of COVID. So it was sort of a self-exploratory experience, really. Really determined that Parkside was the right home for him. And, you know, but certainly at that point in time, had no idea that a few years later, here I would be serving as chancellor. And so it's quite a tremendous experience. I think our oldest son now, he had the opportunity to introduce me at my inauguration in September. And I think he told the audience he wasn't quite sure either that determined for certain that we had to move closer because we were too concerned about him and what he might do, or it just solidified that he was the favorite child within the family. So
a little of both, probably. Yes. By the way, I so appreciated having an invitation, and I had an unbreakable commitment, which made it impossible for me to attend your inauguration. Would love to have been there. And it sounds from all that I heard from several people who were in attendance that it was a festive, celebratory day. And in these days that are so challenging for the whole world of higher education, it's nice to have those occasions to celebrate, and it sounds like it was a great day.
Yeah, absolutely. The day came together in just a wonderful way, a true reflection of Parkside and our faculty and our staff and our students, and as you just mentioned, a great opportunity to celebrate our history and legacy and a real look towards our future.
Right. And we'll be talking about Parkside's future a little bit later. Let's talk for a moment about its present. And again, this is maybe mostly for the sake of anybody who's listening who's relatively new to the area or for whatever reason not particularly well acquainted with the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. I think it would be helpful for you to kind of give a brief capsule summary and maybe especially help our listeners understand about the context of kind of the world of higher education right here in Kenosha and Racine with Parkside, Gateway, and Carthage all in close proximity, really in more ways than one, not just geographically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's actually quite phenomenal and wonderful for this community to have such rich resources in its higher education institutions. As you mentioned, we have the privilege of having Gateway Technical College, Carthage, as well as Parkside right here in the Kenosha area and in southeast Wisconsin. The University of Wisconsin-Parkside, you know, we were founded in 1968, so we're on the young end of the bunch here, but we're part of the Universities of Wisconsin, so we're part of that constellation of 13 universities publicly supported across the state of Wisconsin. We serve a little over 4,000 students at both the undergraduate and graduate level, in person and online. And really are working to make sure that we serve our kind of dual mission of providing access to higher education, but also preparing students really to serve within our region, the workforce within our region, and to pursue their career interests. Here within the region, one of the wonderful things we have is a great culture of collaboration. And so our institutions between Carthage and Parkside and Gateway often work together, even with other institutions outside of our immediate community, to make sure that we're providing a great opportunity for as many young folks or adults, lifelong learners, as we possibly can.
Love that. And I have to say, in all of my years here in southeastern Wisconsin, I continue to be amazed and delighted by the wonderful spirit of cooperation between these three schools. And it probably helps that they are three distinct schools. I mean, three different kinds of schools of higher education. And that, in a sense, I mean, in one way, I suppose you are competitors, but more than that, much more than that, you are collaborators in each offering or serving one part of the mission of educating people in southeastern Wisconsin. And it's all a piece of a wonderful whole.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a real shared commitment across the higher education community in our region that recognizes the positive benefits of education, right? We know that that helps to provide stability of employment over a lifetime, as well as provides higher earnings over a lifetime and all other kinds of positive life benefits. And so I think it really is a collective mission among all of our institutions to make sure that we provide as much access to higher education for our region as possible. And so, and we know we have a large population to serve right here between the, you know, here in the Milwaukee-Chicago corridor.
Yeah, it's a great place to be. When I recently visited your website, I was impressed by it on a lot of levels. It's a wonderful website, and there's one place where at one point there's a big headline about amazing location, and we see this little map that really shows that corridor in really, really great way. Underscores the fact that it is a very exciting place, first of all, to live, and certainly an exciting place to learn if you are fortunate enough to be a student at Parkside or Carthage or Gateway. We're speaking today with Dr. Lynn Akey, the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin Parkside. I made mention of the fact that this is certainly a challenging landscape for higher education in general, and not just in Wisconsin, but all across the country, although certainly in Wisconsin in particular, there have been some real challenges. And what's really interesting to me and exciting is how even within that environment, we see new things emerging at Parkside.
Yes.
And that's true at Carthage and here at Gateway as well, of course. But I think at a quick glance, one might assume this is a time of constriction and elimination and so on. And of course, some of that is happening at all of these schools I mentioned, but it's also a time where new things are emerging. You were telling me before we went on the air that actually the Board of Regents or Trustees at Parkside just approved a new program that will be emerging. I don't know, are you in a position to talk about that today?
Yeah, you know, yes, just, you know, last week, Thursday and Friday, the Board of Regents for the Universities of Wisconsin took up the request from Parkside to establish a new program, a bachelor's degree in neuroscience. And so we're absolutely excited. That's been an area of concentration for us in the past. A number of students have pursued that. But as we look to our region and we have dramatic growth within the biohealth field and biotechnology fields, it really is quite fitting for us to move that concentration to a full program. And so we're so excited to get that approval last week with the anticipation that we'll be offering that this coming fall.
Can you give us some sense of the nature of the conversations that surrounded that, or I should say preceded that decision? I mean, what are the kind of things that get weighed, whether it's neuroscience or some other potential new program? What kind of matters or factors need to be assessed and weighed before making what I would assume is a commitment of a lot of resources and time to launching something like this?
Certainly. You know, it certainly is an extensive process, you know, and credit goes to our faculty first and foremost, and then our administrators and staff that support that process. But, you know, our faculty are constantly thinking about how their disciplines are evolving, thinking about what the workplace regional needs are for our graduates, thinking about the interests of the students that are coming to our institution and what they're expressing. I want to study this. I want to focus on this. Here's what I'm trying to achieve. And I think, as I mentioned right before we got on the air, one of the things that we consistently see and are seeing as we are working to align very strongly with what our students are desiring in the workforce is a real interdisciplinary nature in which we're bringing new disciplines together. But when we have interest in a new program, we are looking at some of those factors, such as what student demand do we have? So again, it's not uncommon something might start as a concentration or a minor before it might move to a full major, like in this case. We're looking at what's the workforce need or demand, right? So we certainly want to make sure that as we produce outstanding graduates, they have outstanding opportunities to either advance their education or to hop into a career and job placements. And we know right here with recent announcements of industries here in our region, and we think about Eli Lilly, for example, that there's a huge demand. We think about Abbott, or we think about AbbVie, again, a number of important partners for the university, that there's a need for students who are trained and have expertise in the space. So that would be a factor that's considered. And then, as you mentioned, you need to have the right faculty, the right resources, equipment, potentially at the institution to support that program. And so all of those factors have to come together to say, yeah, this is where we should make an investment as an institution.
Right. And I suppose it's a matter of striking the right balance between being aggressive and courageous and striking out in new directions, and yet being careful and cautious and good stewards of your resources. And I don't envy those of you who have responsibility for making decisions like that. Also recently announced is that Parkside gained reaccreditation of its Bachelor of Science in Molecular Biology and Bioinformatics by the American Society for Biochemistry and Molecular Biology. And this is a distinction that just over 100 programs all across the country have. So this is yes, an important offering in Parkside's academic array. I think for people listening, most people have no idea what kind of gauntlet is involved in gaining accreditation or gaining reaccreditation or renewing accreditation. Not that we need to sit here all day talking about paperwork, but maybe you could just give our listeners a little sense of what is involved and what something like this really represents, the kind of achievement it represents.
Yeah, so often when we talk about accreditation and higher education, it takes often two different forms. One is at that institutional level, and so we think about institutional accreditors who accredit the entire institution. But then we also have the opportunity for some of our programs to pursue specialized accreditation, such as the one you just mentioned. And so we have several of those at Parkside as well. But it is quite the process, strenuous process. Usually it's a multi-year process to gain initial accreditation, specialized in that way. Certainly they're looking at the quality of the program, the academic program, the coursework, looking at the quality and strength of the faculty, as well as the success of students through that program. Often a specialized program accreditation is going to require an application, right, to receive this acknowledgement. Typically, there's a self-study type process or assurance process that the program would move through to demonstrate those markers of quality that are required. And then often there's also a visit, again, experts in the field who would come and evaluate the materials that have been submitted, would interact with our programs, potentially students, might be employers who employ our students, to ascertain whether the program is worthy of receiving that acknowledgement or accreditation. So it is, as you just mentioned, quite a commitment on the behalf of faculty and staff to pursue that process, and to meet those requirements to be deserving of that acknowledgement. And so I couldn't be, you know, more proud of the work of our biology department and the team that supports those programs, as well as that accreditation effort. It's definitely a core part of one of our areas of strength at Parkside within the health sciences.
For sure. You know, it's interesting. I look at this and I realize I don't really have a terribly clear idea of what molecular biology is. I mean, I assume it means biology at a molecular level, but I wouldn't know much beyond that. And I have next to no understanding of what bioinformatics is. And not that that in and of itself is important, my own ignorance, but I think it underscores the fact that it is no small feat for any school, and a school like Parkside, to sort of stay on the cutting edge as some of these fields emerge. Or gain in significance, and then you have to make decisions as an institution about how to address these emerging fields. It's What a challenge that is in and of itself.
Absolutely. It's quite an undertaking. And that's, you know, some of the core work that our faculty do every day. They're constantly needing to keep up to date with the new happenings within their discipline. But as we just were mentioning, it's also how their discipline is now intersecting with other disciplines. And so we're bringing different fields of study together. And really, that's so critical because that's how things get applied in the real world. And that's what our employers are looking for, as students who have had exposures, not just to one discipline, but multiple different disciplines to bring that together. And, you know, certainly our world is continuing to evolve and change at an increasing rate. And so the onus on our faculty to be able to keep up with that is great.
No kidding. Very recently, just within the last few days, I think, there was an announcement about the expansion of something called the Ascension Scholar Program, which represents a really exciting partnership between the University of Wisconsin-Parkside and Ascension Wisconsin. And it sounds like something that's going to make a really amazing difference in the lives of a number of students pursuing careers in healthcare. Talk about this partnership and specifically the Ascension Scholar Program.
Yeah, you know, Ascension Wisconsin and University of Wisconsin-Parkside have had a relationship over the last several years and have just really taken that partnership to a new level with the Ascension Scholars Program. As I mentioned, I was actually visiting with Ascension Wisconsin yesterday, highlighting that partnership and touring one of their facilities. You know, the relationship that they have is both in commitment to education, but I would also say that partnership is also a commitment to our community and recognizing that, you know, we do have a growing healthcare shortage of workers within our region. And we know that's just critically important to the health of our community. And so they're really stepping forward and saying, how do we help tackle this together with our educational partners? And so they've stepped forward and said, you know, we will help financially support students who are studying to be nurses or to go into the healthcare profession, providing scholarship support for 2 years of study, with the opportunity to then come and enter into the workforce at Ascension Wisconsin. And so yesterday when I was visiting there, several of the nurses and doctors that I visited with had all come through Parkside, you know, prior to this type of a relationship. But so we certainly have had a strong partnership, but really moving that forward. And as you mentioned, providing that access and opportunity where some members of our community, young people, might not have thought financially that was possible for them to pursue the education that would be needed to earn the credentials to go into nursing. And Ascension Wisconsin is really making that possible.
That's great. So exciting. Speaking of partnerships, I heard just within the last 2 or 3 days from someone at the United Way of Kenosha County wanting to come on the morning show and talk about a really exciting collaboration or partnership with the University of Wisconsin Parkside, specifically with something there called the Community-Based Learning Program. And of course, this is something that a lot of us have been so impressed with over the years. Parkside's really firm, relentless commitment to being exceptionally committed to the community around it and giving students opportunities to really experience that for themselves. Could you just say a word about this particular partnership with the United Way of Kenosha County and the really exciting and helpful work that some Parkside students did on their behalf?
Sure. Yeah, as you mentioned, community-based learning and community engagement has been a part of the foundation of Parkside since its beginnings. In fact, it was the first university within the Universities of Wisconsin to receive the designation of being a community-engaged institution from the Carnegie Foundation. So, as you mentioned, it's definitely a hallmark of the institution. The community-based learning program, again, they align students with opportunities within our community to contribute. And so a wonderful opportunity to engage in a project with United Way to really bring forward and establish a new web presence that would help highlight and make more readily available the resources that we have within our community. And we have phenomenal resources. And I think the challenge we had was, you know, how do we make sure as many people as possible can navigate to that website and really access and get a fuller understanding of the resources are available. And so just a wonderful collaboration and partnership for our students to have that hands-on experience in the real world, applying what they're learning, you know, on campus, whether it's from web design to marketing to communication, bringing all of those disciplines together to bear to support our community. So it was a wonderful collaboration.
We're speaking with Dr. Lynn Akey, the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, and talking about a number of interesting new initiatives and partnerships and so on. And a little bit later in the hour, we're also going to be touching on some possible reorganization at Parkside that would allow it to deliver its education to the public even more efficiently and effectively. Yesterday was the first meeting of the spring semester over at Carthage, where I teach a meeting of actually faculty and staff. And at one point, President John Swallow, took a moment to talk about the matter of DEI, diversity. I'm blanking on what it
means. Equity and inclusion.
Yeah, I couldn't think of the E for a second. Yes. And how, obviously, there are some significant conversations across the country right now about DEI and its place in modern society. And, of course, there are some wanting to discard it altogether or to curb it dramatically, and others who see great value in it and want to see it preserved and perhaps expanded. So there's sort of epic disagreement over the matter of DEI. But at the moment, of course, it is very much, I think it's fair to say, under fire. And President Swallow took a moment to talk about how, as far as Carthage was concerned, whatever it ends up being called, that the core values involved in DEI are still very important to Carthage and will remain so. And I wonder if you could just talk for a moment about this matter of DEI, and as things are shifting, and perhaps for the university, maybe there are ways in which you might be even more directly impacted than a private school like Carthage, but when it comes to matters of policy, what does that do in terms of Parkside's core commitment to some of those values in terms of wanting to serve as diverse a student body as possible?
Certainly. Yeah, as you mentioned, there's a lot of conversation that's occurring at the national level as well as at our state level, and understanding what is it that we mean by diversity, equity, and inclusion, and how do we think about that? For us as a Parkside, it really is an opportunity for us to, you know, re-hone our focus on our mission and purpose as an institution, right, which is to provide access to educational opportunities and to serve our community. So for us at Parkside, what does that mean? Well, we have an opportunity to serve an incredibly diverse community around us. And so we'll continue to be focused on serving our community. And then secondly, how do we ensure as many students as possible who seek the educational opportunities at Parkside are successful? And so we want to ensure that we're inclusive of all of our students, providing those opportunities, making those pathways possible. We know that that's critical for the success of the institution, success of our community, success of our workforce into the future. And so for us, I think it's really a moment for us to center back on our mission and our purpose. And to make sure that as we think about the terms and meanings of diversity, equity, and inclusion, it's about providing access, it's about providing educational opportunity, and it's about ensuring success for people, our community, and for our workforce. Mm.
Very good. I wanted to give you a chance to talk about an award that was given within the last couple of months, I think, to a student at Parkside, Wren Griffith, receiving the 2024 Dr. P.D. Poorman Award for Outstanding Achievement on behalf of the LGBTQ community. Do you know anything about this award and what Wren Griffith did to earn it?
Yeah, Wren, a wonderful student. at UW Parkside and student leader at that. Ren really has brought forward all kinds of efforts across her time at the institution to help us be inclusive of various different gender identities that our students have. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity. It's a tradition within the Universities of Wisconsin to recognize leadership both at the student level and at the employee level, those that are making a difference to ensure our campus is inclusive of all of our members. And so just, you know, great recognition for the students as well as other students who help serve, whether it's serving as a mentor, whether it's providing programs, whether it's offering events. All of those things were a part of the contributions that Ren's made at Parkside over the over several years, actually.
Very good. So let's talk about this matter of potential reorganization of what Parkside is, of who you serve and how. And we should say, first of all, right off the bat, that this comes at a point in time when the entire university system is under scrutiny, and it is examining itself, the way it is put together, and the various roles that various schools within the UW system operate. So first of all, maybe you could kind of set this in kind of a wider context about the state of affairs with the university system as a whole, and then the kind of self-examination that Parkside is currently undertaking.
Sure. Well, within the Universities of Wisconsin, I think it's important to remember it's a phenomenal structure of institutions, a constellation, as we call it, of 13 institutions that spread across our state to support educational opportunity. And so Parkside is, you know, certainly blessed to be a part of that structure and really called within that structure to serve Southeast Wisconsin. Certainly, there's great diversity among the institutions of the Universities of Wisconsin, right? We think about everything from the University of Wisconsin-Madison as our Research One institution within the state and serving that, you know, that core research service and teaching function, to an institution like Parkside that is much more teaching focused, and our faculty have an emphasis on being teaching scholars. Each of the institutions across the 13 do have sort of their own distinct purpose and identity. Parkside actually has a fairly unique place, I would say, within the 13 universities of Wisconsin. We're somewhat distinct because of the population that we serve, because of the location that we serve. It might be interesting to note that a larger portion of our students tend to be older versus younger. A larger portion of our students tend to live within the community versus living maybe in that traditional on-campus residential type experience. A larger portion of our students are working significantly while they're also attending school or taking classes.
So working outside of their life as a student.
Correct. And so we're kind of distinctive in a lot of unique ways that separates us just slightly from some of the other comprehensive universities that we have within the system. But Parkside, you know, in its own journey, as you just mentioned, all of us are continuing to think about how we transform and change for the future. And so I did bring to the campus community this year three strategic directions for us to give considerable thought to. One was, you know, how we continue to be and advance as a first choice university within the Milwaukee-Chicago corridor, particularly serving students who live, learn, and work, out of recognition for the large portion of our students who do work significant hours in addition to their learning.
One thing that I love under this point, I'm looking at the document to which you are referring, is when you or whoever crafted this with you said, it is time to move beyond our hidden gem status.
Yes.
And serve as the first choice university for students in Southeast Wisconsin. That's a great turn of phrase, and I understand where you're coming from.
Thank you. Yeah, so I'm really excited about that. We had a work group in the fall do some tremendous work in this area, bring some recommendations forward to the campus community that we're now moving through that would help us think about how we structure our classes, how we offer our classes, the combination of in-person versus online learning, how we might do scheduling from full year or block scheduling versus semester to semester. So tremendous opportunity for us in this space to think about who we serve and how can we better serve our students. The second area of direction.
Actually, I want to praise you about one other thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
As you're talking about this, you know, a consortium of students, faculty, staff, administrators, all exploring some of, you know, how do we do this? One of the points that is talked about, along with recruitment and what courses are offered and so on.
Yeah.
You write, articulate barriers limiting the success of working students. And of course, you know, it's one thing to know, you know, it's tough to be a working student. I mean, it's tough to have a job and to be a student. But to take the time to articulate exactly what that means, exactly what those barriers are, or hindrances or complications. And then, of course, once you've done that, then you can address them versus thinking all of it vaguely and nebulously. So you are calling people to think about that on a level in which you can do something about it.
Yeah, and that work group too, I should give them credit because they said, okay, we need to go to the source. So they held focus groups with students and said, okay, tell us, where are their challenges? Where do we have barriers to you maximizing your success? To you achieving what you're trying to achieve. And, you know, that helps to frame where we have work to do.
That's great.
As an institution. The second area that I brought forward for focus for the institution was around partnerships and really us as an institution taking a step forward and being a true partner with business, industry, and nonprofits in our community. We talked earlier about we have that strong foundation as an institution already, and how do we take that to the next level? Again, recognizing that our students are working and we have employers in our region who are looking for more. Whether it's skilled workers in a particular area, whether it's being able to work with those students over their educational journey, so starting to shape and mold and mentor, whether it's a first year or a second student, then be able to provide a work-based experience perhaps as a junior, a senior, and then hopefully have that student join them full-time in the workforce upon graduation. And so we're thinking about those kinds of partnerships very deeply.
I think you just answered the question I was thinking of asking you, but I'll ask it anyway.
Okay.
You open this by saying we must shift from being a provider to a true partner in our region's economic and cultural development. And I think what you were just now articulating is what that could potentially look like, what it would mean to be a true partner with some of these area industries, as opposed to just being available to them for when they come to you saying we need this, we need that. I suppose if you're talking in terms of being a true partner, that in turn might even suggest that together some of these decisions are made. I mean, that industry and Parkside are sitting around a table together sort of plotting a future.
Yeah, very much so. And that does mean welcoming our employer partners, workforce partners into the conversation to say, how do we best do this to ensure that our students have the right education, the right experiences, so that they're fully prepared to jump into the workforce and a part of your company or organization. But it also means us thinking about how we work together in a number of ways. We think about it as a menu of opportunity that we can provide. You know, whether it is that educational pathway for a student into the workforce that's, you know, closely created, but it can also be things like sponsored projects or research that a business or industry, and we've had several partnerships in that way, where we have a company that says, I've got a challenge, I need some expertise. Do you have a faculty member with this kind of expertise and a crew of students who can come and they can you know, put their minds to work to help us think this through, to help us problem solve, how could we approach this differently? And that's a tremendous resource for the business. We also think about the types of customized training, professional development, work that we can also provide, because certainly we know we have young people to support, but we also have current people who are working, who are ready to upskill or reskill. And as the world is changing around us so quickly, those of us who are in our midlife know that there's a lot of learning still to be done. As we want to continue to advance in our own careers. And so what's our opportunities there? And again, that needs to be done tightly with our employers in the region. And so we are moving forward with establishing Parkside partnerships. And I expect we'll be appointing an executive director to help lead in that area to provide future vision. And as you just mentioned, helping to call together leaders within our region, employers, workforce, to talk about how do we move from being that provider to being that true partner? What are those mechanisms? What are the various different ways in which we might do that work together?
Right. And I should think at least many companies would welcome that. I mean, this is not something you are imposing on them for self-serving reasons, but they would benefit mightily, I should think, and I'm sure would see the benefit of these kind of connections evolving into true partnerships. So it'd be exciting to see what that looks like.
Yeah, we are very excited to get that work underway. And so, again, anticipate that really launching here this spring and so much more to come for that as we move towards the fall. And then the third area that I challenge the campus to give strong consideration to is, you know, how do we transform our administrative structures as a university so that we could be efficient and effective? And thinking about the resources that we have as a university and what it is that we intend to deliver, our mission, our purpose, how do we do that most effectively? And so we have had a work group doing some work this past semester to really bring forward principles that might help ground our structures as an institution. You know, how do we have a lean administrative structure with an emphasis really being on prioritizing our students and ensuring that we maintain the course offerings that our students are needing and desiring, as well as the services that our students want to be successful.
One of the things that leapt out at me in this really interesting part of the document is when you say our current organizational structure mirrors that of much larger institutions. I don't remember ever hearing that before. And that's a really fascinating observation. And it might also be something that at a glance might make a lot of sense, but then it's like the closer you look at it, you think, well, wait a minute. This might work for Madison or Whitewater or something, but maybe this is not the best structure for a school the size of Parkside. I think that's what you're saying.
Absolutely. And so I think, you know, we're certainly seeing across the nation higher education institutions taking on various different forms, which is great. Again, being innovative and entrepreneurial and thinking about there are other ways to do this. I think for me, one of the most compelling reasons for us to take up this work is some of the requests that I've had from faculty and staff since I arrived, saying that they want to have the opportunity to be more collaborative, to be more interdisciplinary in their offerings, to have deeper conversations across what right now are college lines and structures. And so I'm really excited about the conversation that we're in right now. And again, it's very much a conversation for us right now to say, how might we think about organizing ourselves differently, particularly at the administrative level? So we have the opportunity to really lift up our academic programs, our faculty, and our staff. I think it also gives us an opportunity to move away from having a focus just on structure and really focusing our conversation on function and what is it that we make possible for our campus community, but make possible for the region as well. It gives us, I think, an opportunity to focus on true areas of excellence that we have as an institution. We touched on one earlier in the health sciences or our biological sciences, for example. And so, you know, I love to see our conversations as an institution continue to focus in that way in the future. Again, it's about who we serve, our students and our community.
Right, and how well to serve them. In fact, that's a great line early in this portion of the document when you say, we need to consider how to organize for greater efficiency without compromising our core mission of educating and supporting students. Mm-hmm. And of course, that makes it probably, in a sense, a steeper challenge, and yet that's the challenge at hand, which is, I mean, it's one thing to just go in and say, let's make this efficient, let's cut this, but what does that do to what you're all about? Mm-hmm. And so trying to do this in a way that preserves the heart and soul of what UW-Parkside has always been. And so you obviously are anxious that this is done very, very carefully and always with the eye on that prize.
Absolutely. And I couldn't be prouder of the campus community and our faculty and staff who've come to this conversation, who have said, Lynn, we're ready to move forward. We're ready to have this conversation and to be able to do so with that type of focus and to be earnest about it. I really appreciate that. And as we, are engaging in conversations now, I remind the campus community that not every institution would even be able to have this conversation.
Right. Or have it this openly or have it without, in a sense, widespread panic. I mean,
right.
I think this is being done in a very thoughtful manner. And that, of course, is so helpful in terms of having people really be on board and fully collaborating with you. It looks like the timeline is that you hope some specific ideas might be ready for implementation by the summer. Is that right? Am I understanding that right?
Yeah, my hope is that we as a campus will continue to move through this conversation and that we'll have some determination of the directions that we might want to pursue if they're different than the structures we have today and that we can start then turning our attention to how would we implement, and move forward. And that we could begin that implementation as we approach, the summer and into next year. Certainly, as you're thinking about, altering structures and such, those require quite a bit of thought and care. Mm. Again, with a focus on ensuring that we support our faculty and staff and students through that process. And again, for us, it's really shifting that focus from structure to what's our function. What is it that we're wanting to achieve and make sure that we're pursuing that and we're lifting that up through the process. So certainly it's not just a one conversation, it's many conversations. And I'm just so proud of the institution for taking this on and saying, while we do great things, we have opportunities as well as we look towards the future and we're gonna tackle those too.
Very good, very well said. And we'll certainly be following this, of course, with great interest and look forward to further conversations as things proceed. To finish out, we want to give you a chance to talk about a nice busy day coming up at Parkside this coming Tuesday, February 18th, when you are planning to welcome a whole lot of prospective students to the campus.
Yeah, we do. We have, Explore Your Career at Parkside. We'll be lifting up particularly two areas of career interest. One is around the health sciences. The other one's around education. And so we're inviting members of our community to spend some time with us. We have excellent panelists lined up, members of our community, alumni, people who work in the fields of healthcare or within education, to come and talk about, how can you chart your career if you have an interest in this space. And I think it's such an important conversation for us to provide because we have young people who have ideas of what they want to do, but they're not quite sure how to put it together. Mm. Or perhaps family or parents, supporters who know that there's this interest here and they're not sure how to nurture that. And so it's just a great opportunity for folks not only to explore Parkside, but just to explore these career areas and to utilize us as a resource to think about what could be possible. How might I go about it? What could be an opportunity for me? And not just for young people, but also, again, we have folks who are already within our workforce who are like, I've always wanted to. Mm. How would I make that shift? Or what happened if I did this or that? Could I do something different? And so it's just a great opportunity to come and explore. It's a new offering that we have this year. I'm so excited that we're doing it. Encourage folks to take advantage of it.
Great. That's coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. So this coming Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, of course, to find out more about all that's going on at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, academically, in the athletic endeavors, in the arts, music, theater, mm-hmm. Et cetera, and many, many other things going on, I would encourage you to visit the Parkside website, which is wonderfully put together. It's uwp.edu. to find out much more about this great institution of higher learning. And at the helm, Dr. Lynn Akey, the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. Chancellor Akey, it's always great to speak with you. I'm so glad we had this chance to talk again and wish you and everybody at Parkside the very, very best going forward from here.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Tomorrow on The Morning Show, it is Kaylin Palomares' monthly visit to the program. And she is going to be having with her Emily Proctor, who is ecologist at Hawthorne Hollow. And they have put together a really lovely conversation about love in the natural world, love between creatures in the natural world around us. And that's, of course, in anticipation of Valentine's Day, which is on Friday. And I'm going to be speaking with podcaster and best-selling author Jennifer Roth on Friday about her book, Romances and Strategies. And that should be fun for Valentine's Day. The morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. Let's get to the weather forecast. A winter storm warning goes into effect at 12 noon today, and it will be in effect until early tomorrow morning. And we are expecting 4 to 5 inches of snow today, especially this afternoon. And the snowfall amounts are going to vary across the listening area. Larger totals are expected closer to the lake. Today's high, 29 degrees. We're looking for 2 to 3 inches of snow additional tonight for a total of accumulation of 6 to 8 inches. That is a little bit downgraded from what they were saying yesterday, but still a lot of snow and an overnight low of 12 degrees. By tomorrow, Thursday, it should be sunny. It will be windy and cold, however, with a high of 20. And more snow is on the way for the weekend. This is WGTDHD.